Esi Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada ki, ISKCON's Founder Acharya Srila Prabhupada ki, Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Sri Sri Radha Radhanath ki, Sri Giri Govardhan ki, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ki, Sankirtan Yajna ki, Gopremanande. All glories to the Asamal devotees. All glories to the Asamal devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter 25. The Glories of Devotional Service. Text 19. Text 19, correct? Anyway, it's good enough. Huh? Na yujamanaya bhaktya bhagavate akilatmane sadrisho ste shiva panta yoginam brahma Siddhaye Nayujamanaya Bhaktya Bhagavatya Kilatmane Sadrishosti Shiva Panta Yoginam Brahma Siddhaye Nayujamanaya Bhaktya Bhagavatya Kilatmane Sadrishosti Shiva Panta Yoginam Brahma Siddhaye Nayujamanaya Bhaktya Bhagavatya Kilatmane Sadrishosti Shiva Panta Yoginam Brahma Siddhaye Yakilatmane Sadhisosh Yavanta Yogi Namakamasi Nayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayayay Saginam Brahma Siddhaye. Matajis? Not Yujamanaya. Being performed. Bhaktya. Devotional service. Bhagavati. Towards the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Akila Atmane. The Super Soul. Sadrisha. Like. Asti. There is. Shiva. Auspicious. Panta. Path. Yoginam. Of the yogis. Brahmasiddhaye. For perfection and self-realization. Translation. Perfection and self-realization cannot be attained by any kind of yogi unless he engages in devotional service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. For that is the only auspicious path. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. That knowledge and renunciation are never perfect unless joined by devotional service, is explicitly explained here. Now, yujamanaya means without being dovetailed. Really, that's interesting. Okay. When there is devotional service, then the question is where to offer that service. Devotional service is to be offered to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is the super soul of everything. For that is the only reliable path of self-realization or Brahman realization. The word Brahma Siddhaye means to understand oneself to be different from matter, to understand oneself to be Brahman. The Vedic words are Aham Brahmasmi. Brahma Siddhi means that one should know that he is not matter. He is pure soul. There are different kinds of yogis, but every yogi is supposed to engage in self-realization or Brahman realization. It is clearly stated here that unless one is fully engaged in the devotional service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one cannot have easy approach to the path of Brahma Siddhi. In the beginning of the second chapter of Srimad Bhagavatam, it is stated that when one engages himself in the devotional service of Vasudeva, spiritual knowledge and renunciation of the material world automatically become manifest. Thus, a devotee does not have to try separately for renunciation or knowledge. Devotional service itself is so powerful that by one's service attitude, everything is revealed. It is stated here, Shiva Panta. This is the only auspicious path for self-realization. The path of devotional service is the most confidential means for attaining Brahman realization. That perfection in Brahman realization is attained through the auspicious path of... That perfection in Brahman realization is attained through the auspicious path of devotional service indicates that the so-called Brahman realization or realization of the Brahma Jyoti effulgence is not Brahma Siddhi. Beyond that Brahma Jyoti, there's the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In the Upanishads, a devotee prays to the Lord to kindly put aside the effulgence, Brahma Jyoti, so that the devotee may see within the Brahma Jyoti the actual eternal form of the Lord. Unless one attains realization of the transcendental form of the Lord, there is no question of bhakti. Bhakti necessitates the existence of the recipient of devotional service and the devotee who renders devotional service. Brahma Siddhi through devotional service is realization of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The understanding of the effulgent rays of the body of the Supreme Godhead is not the perfect stage of Brahma Siddhi or Brahman realization, nor is the realization of the Paramatma feature of the Supreme Person perfect. For Bhagavan, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is Akhilatma. He is the Supersoul. One who realizes the Supreme Personality realizes the other features, namely the Paramatma feature and the Brahman feature. And that total realization is Brahma Siddhi. That's pretty powerful. Na yujyamanaya bhaktya bhagavat yakalatmani sadrishosti shiva panta yoginam brahma siddhaye. Perfection and self-realization cannot be attained by any kind of yogi unless he engages in devotional service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, for that is the only auspicious path. Nama Om Vishnupadaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Shrimati Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namane Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharne Niravishesha Shunyavadi Paschityadeshtarne Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadha Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Vanchakalpaturubhyascha, Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha, Paditanam Pavanebhyo, Vaishnavebhyo, Namo Namaha. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Yes, so this is a very, very important point, actually, that to become successful in any type of spiritual realization or any type of spiritual process, one has to engage in devotional service. Without that, it's not really possible to achieve success in whatever. We hear, of course, in Bhagavad Gita in the first six chapters particularly, we hear of Jnana Yoga, Jnana Yoga, Karma Yoga. In the eighth chapter, is it the eighth chapter? I think it's the eighth chapter, yeah. We hear about Sat Chakra Yoga. Of course, we hear about devotional service, Bhakti Yoga, but Ashtanga Yoga, Ashtanga Yoga. These are very well-known systems of yoga in the Vedic tradition, and seeing Bhagavad Gita as a type of summary in a certain sense of what is the Vedic tradition, and therefore is presenting whatever is prominent and important in the Vedic tradition. So because these particular forms of yoga, and there are others too, but these are the most significant, important, popular, like that. And therefore they are mentioned, and some of them, like Karma Yoga particularly, is extensively discussed, two full chapters in Bhagavad Gita, chapter 3, chapter 5, and then elsewhere referred to, and Ashtanga Yoga has a whole chapter. And the others are definitely mentioned. I mean, the ones we mentioned, we referred to, because they're prominent systems of yoga in the Vedic tradition. But this verse is saying, Lord Kapila is saying, and he's the Supreme Personality of Godhead, that you can practice any form of yoga you like, but you're not really going to become perfect either in the ultimate sense, means in terms of what is the best of all performances of yoga, or in your particular type of yoga that you are focusing on. Actually, the process of yoga, we've just been reading just now in our seminar on Bhagavad Gita, there in the last verse of the sixth chapter, there Srila Prabhupada makes the point that that yoga is a type of step-by-step process wherein one begins at a certain point and then goes into another form of yoga, then another form of yoga, and then possibly another form, and then one comes to bhakti yoga, which is the perfection of yoga. But Srila Prabhupada makes the point that people sometimes get stuck, you could say, stuck in that somehow they get into one form of yoga and somehow or other this becomes just the be-all and end-all of their yoga process, and they stick to that and they don't go beyond that. Whereas actually, according to the real Vedic tradition, yoga means there are different, a certain number of types of yoga which help one develop in certain particular ways, relevant ways, so that ultimately one can take to bhakti yoga, which is the perfection of yoga. But Prabhupada makes the point in that purport that that nowadays, or for however long it's been happening, that these yogis, they become attached to different forms of yoga. They stick with those. They don't go any further. And Prabhupada says, then, therefore, they become identified as a jnana yogi, or a karuna yogi, or a shtanga yogi, whatever it is. They become identified in that way. But actually, they have missed the point. So Srila Prabhupada, in the purport here, brings out the point very clearly that actually Brahma Siddhi, the perfection of yoga, means to engage in devotional service to the Lord, bhakti yoga. Or not just to engage in it, but actually to become perfect in it. This is Brahma Siddhi, which of course means perfection in realization of Brahman. So that's one perspective in terms of this verse, that it is not possible for anyone to reach the ultimate perfection of yoga, the perfection of bhakti yoga, prema pumarto mahan, that realization of pure love for Krishna, which is the highest perfection in yoga practice. If one doesn't engage in devotional service, then one is not going to reach that point, which is fairly pretty easy to understand, really. But then, also, perhaps not so much here directly, although it's there, but definitely in Bhagavad Gita, we read how if one is one of these yogis who's become attached, somehow or other just focused on one of the particular forms of yoga and is just not going beyond that, sees no need to, is not making any attempt to, and is just not going to go beyond that yoga. So whatever that yoga is, the particular yoga of that particular yogi, they are not going to become perfect in that without contact with devotional service. Or not just contact, but without engaging in devotional service. So this is there in Bhagavad Gita. And for example, Srila Prabhupada doesn't really, well, he mentions it actually, but not like Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur or Srila Baladeva Vijayabhushan, that in Bhagavad Gita, the structure of Bhagavad Gita is such that the first six chapters are about different forms of yoga, which we in our seminar have just completed, or we're just completing. Those first six chapters are about different forms of yoga. But then the final six chapters are about relevant jnana, knowledge, which is not always, but in most cases, or many, however many cases, is not exactly part of devotional service, but it to know that may be helpful in devotional service, like the modes, for example, the modes of material nature. Krishna consciousness is transcendental to the modes of material nature. We read in Nectar of Devotion how Srila Prabhupada, repeating the message of Srila Rupa Goswami, Srila Prabhupada made the point that that particularly jnana and vairagya are not essential in devotional service. They may help in the very first stages, but beyond the very first stages, they can't help. So what can help, what to really focus on, and if one wants to progress in devotional service, what to do, Srila Prabhupada makes the point that the only thing that really helps is sincerity in the process of devotional service. Jnana, vairagya, these things. Maybe, Prabhupada says, to get a little footing in devotional service. Because we come to devotional service heavily conditioned by ajnana and, what would you say, and bhoga or nivairagya or something like that. Yeah, heavily conditioned. Oh, it's amazing how many lifetimes, how deep has it gone? Oh, it's really quite something. So some jnana and some vairagya for someone who's heavily ajnana, ignorant. And for someone who is just, who's got no inclination towards renunciation, Sri Sri Radharadnath Sri Giri Govardhan Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu Ki Jai. No interest at all in renunciation, quite the opposite. Let me get as much as I can get. For people like that, some knowledge, real transcendental knowledge of the nature of the soul, and some vairagya, some detachment, it may help in the beginning. Yes. So this is there. So there, in Bhagavad Gita then, the first six chapters are about yoga, culminating in bhakti yoga. But most particularly what was discussed really was karma yoga and some ashtanga yoga, and some Jnana Yoga. Bhakti Yoga was particularly brought out right at the end. You know, some mention was there in other places. And of course, Prabhupada, as he's commenting, he brought out that sort of the relevance of devotional service. But otherwise, the main subject was different forms of yoga. Just excuse me a sec. So anyway, yoga is there. Particularly Karma Yoga, Ashtanga Yoga is there, and the others we mentioned. A bit of devotional service, but either just subtly or just in the last verse, in fact. And then the last six chapters, 13 to 18, to a large degree, they're discussing, as we mentioned, different forms of knowledge, which are not directly part of devotional service, but which may be helpful. And our acharyas, in evaluating this particular interesting point, that jnana and vairagya at the beginning and the end, and in the middle is devotional service, our acharyas make the point that normally the conclusion of a book is at the end, and everything builds up to the end. In this case, the essence is in the middle, other than a summing up right at the end. But otherwise, the real study is in the middle. Why is that? And the reason is because without the influence of devotional service, then jnana, or then yoga and jnana in the sort of more abstract, not exactly Krishna conscious sense, without contact with bhakti, these things are just a waste. Really, they're just a waste. What's the point? There's no good reason to do these things. Yes, so this is what Lord Kapila is explaining here. And it applies in both ways. That one will not become perfect if one has chosen a particular form of yoga. One cannot become perfect in that form of yoga. And if we understand the system of yoga more correctly as being from Karma Kandya through the different yogas up to Bhakti Yoga, then obviously without Bhakti Yoga, you can't be successful in Bhakti Yoga. What can you say? Yes. So Srila Prabhupada argues the point in different ways. And it's very nice. He refers to, it's actually the Ishapanishad, one of the Upanishads, he says. One of the Upanishads, wherever it is. Oh, yeah. In the Upanishads, a devotee prays to the Lord to kindly put aside the effulgence Brahma Jyoti so that the devotee may see within the Brahma Jyoti the actual eternal form of the Lord. So this is certainly there in Ishapanishad. Hopefully we've all read Ishapanishad. It's meant to be our next seminar after Bhagavad Gita, actually. So anyway, I don't know about other Upanishads, if they address the same point, but definitely the Ishapanishad gives significant focus, the last verses, to the speaker of the book, who happens to be the personified Vedas, that the speaker has come to the point of death, but at the same time has come to the point of some type of spiritual realization. But that some type of spiritual realization is not the regular Krishna conscious realization of the Supreme Lord, face to face. Premanjana Charita Bhakti Valochanena Santasadaiva Rideyeshu Valokayanti. That the devotee who has anointed his or her eyes with the ointment of love, then through that love comes to see Krishna. Santa Hridayeshu, within the heart, or anywhere, or everywhere even. Yes. So, but at that point, just approaching the end of Shirsha Upanishad, the devotee, the speaker, the personified Vedas are having some difficulty, because even though the Lord is in front of them, they're not seeing him. They're just seeing his Brahman effulgence. And so they appeal to him, can you please remove that so I can see your face? So when the devotee comes to that point of directly seeing the Lord face to face, speaking with the Lord, and interacting with the Lord on a regular basis, this is actual Brahma Siddhi. This is actual Brahma Siddhi. And that can only be realized through devotional service. So, Prabhupada makes the point here in the purport, unless one renders devotional service, one is not going to attain realization of the transcendental form of the Lord, which is Brahma Siddhi. So if you're familiar with those verses in Isha Upanishad, you will know what it's like. That devotee or those devotees are praying very sincerely and very intensely. It is very intense. Please withdraw that dazzling effulgence, please. Because as we have mentioned before, Srila Jiva Goswami makes the point that what is, well, he raises the question and then answers it, what is Brahman realization? Brahman realization is realization of Krishna, but minus his form and minus his personality. One will not be able to perceive them. So what does one perceive? That Brahma Jyoti. That Brahma Jyoti, because the Lord's body is so effulgent. Each one of us has an effulgence. I just shaved my head yesterday. Anyway, what? But, oh, Satchikumaraprabhu, he's an effulgent devotee. It's good. Everyone has an effulgence. Those of you who have frequented funerals before, which, you know, we've done. Yeah, the older you get, the more funerals you get to attend, if you want. But the one thing, the first thing I've noticed on seeing those soulless bodies is that there's no effulgence. Generally, sometimes there is, But in so many cases, there's no effulgence and the body looks really dull. And there are even cases where at least I, and I've heard others also say, that I found a little difficult to recognize the person. Yeah. In some cases, that's just my experience. Yeah. So everyone has some effulgence. But Krishna has this overwhelming, practically all-consuming effulgence. And that is what is realized when a person achieves, if a person achieves Brahman realization, that effulgence of the Lord. Paramatma realization means realization of the form of the Lord, but not exactly his personality. Because the Paramatma, obviously, he has form, four-armed form, but he doesn't have the personality of Krishna. Krishna, who loves associating with his devotees and doing this and doing that and going here and there and all these things. The super soul simply, in practically a mechanical way, at least in a very straightforward way, sees everyone gets the results of their previous activities. That's all. Any personal involvement is very little. Very little. Only when one realizes Bhagavan, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, directly, then one will perceive not just his form, but his personality. How Krishna interacts with different devotees in different ways. Sometimes it's really fascinating. Sometimes it's really amazing how he interacts. Just one example of something special in that regard is during the, the stealing of the clothes of the gopis at the end of the month of, the gopis were worshipping, Katyayani, right. So, anyway, the thing is that unless one, at least that's an example, an example that. Unless one engages in devotional service to the Lord, even if one does become somewhat realized or advanced in some other process of yoga, but particularly if one is on the impersonal side, one will just realize the effulgence, and that'll be very blinding, and one will not be able to go further. It's only through devotional service, through a devotional consciousness, that one will be able to penetrate through the effulgence and see the face of the Lord and then interact with the form of the Lord, with the form of the Lord and Krishna in personal ways. And we mentioned, the gopis with their Katyayani Vrata, at the end of the month of Katyayani, that just see Krishna's personality. Krishna was not in the slightest mechanical about it. He stole their clothes. What an amazing thing to do. to bring them closer to him. Yes, this is personality. It's real personality, interacting in relevant ways and sometimes in very astonishing ways, very personal ways. The Supreme Personality of Godhead. So, in devotional service, Prabhupada makes the point, I mean, there are many things here. Bhakti necessitates the existence of the recipient of devotional service. For there, in bhakti, there has to be the bhakta, there has to be Bhagavan, and there has to be bhakti. These three sort of entities have to be there. If one of them is missing, well, then it doesn't work. So, yes. So bhakti necessitates the existence of the recipient of devotional service and the devotee who renders the devotional service. Yeah. So like this. Real Brahma City, ultimate Brahma City of realizing directly the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is like the last word in any form of yoga realization. Without that, everything falls short. If one just gets stuck in one of the other forms of yoga and then is identified that, oh, there's an Ashtanga yogi. But even in that person's Ashtanga yoga, they'll not be able to really be successful unless they perform devotional service. Just like yoga, the first six chapters, and jnana, the last six chapters, without contact with bhakti, which is in the middle, in between them, then the yoga will not be successful, the jnana will not be successful, but through devotional service, all these things can be successful, even in and of themselves, but particularly in the ultimate sense of realization of Krishna. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.